It's good to be able to share with you tonight some of the experiences of this last summer. There's a verse in the Psalms, first of all, that I want to read to you. I didn't bring my Bible up because I saw that the table was gone and you might see my hands shaking a little bit. But the verse is found in Psalms 139 and it's verse 16. And I just wrote it down quickly here. Something that has meant a lot to me. When I came home from Nigeria in November of 1988, it was coming home with the assurance that I was doing the right thing. And that assurance also came when I was able to turn the work that I was doing those last 2.5 years over to a young man who was very capable. But still, when you have somebody like Jim McDowell saying, well, you could stay if you really wanted to. There are things that you could do. That assurance was good to have. And then the things that have happened and comments that people have made and so on, since I've been home, this verse has meant an awful lot to me. And even what's happening now in my own family. I've read this verse so many times and know that the Lord has planned and will continue to plan. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And I thought about that a lot. And I thought, well, the Lord has planned and his plans are good. So the rest remains with him. But when I came home from Nigeria, I knew there was an assurance in myself that I had to go back at least one more time. There are people who say someday I will go back to work. I don't know what the future holds. But that assurance was there that I had to go. It was like a pilgrimage that I had to make just to be sure where I should be. And I can remember beginning to plan almost the very time I arrived home, how I would finance this trip and how things would work out. And I was to go with my sister. And right up until just about the time I was ready to go, I was going with her, and it was going to be a 3-week trip. And then health-wise, it didn't work out for her to go. In the meantime, I had had letters from Reverend Amao, our Nigerian president, and also Jim McDowell saying that they needed somebody to do the same thing that was done last year, and that is teaching pastors English as a second language. And I had put them off saying, if I'm coming with my sister, it's no use getting involved in that because it wouldn't be any fun for her. She wouldn't see what she wanted to see. But again, in looking back, I guess the Lord's plan was there too. She didn't go. I didn't hear from Jim for a long time. And then suddenly I got a phone call from a man in Leamington by the name of Bill Martins, a high school teacher in Leamington. And he said that Jim had contacted him and we were to get together and plan a month's course for these pastors in English. So we did just that. And it was really an exciting time for me, I can say, about going. But I didn't count on it too much. I don't know, sometimes when I plan ahead and then I really put my mind on something, it doesn't come to pass. So I kept saying, it's going to be there, and I was getting excited inside, but it didn't happen right away, and I just went day by day. And finally, we took off. My mother was a little worried that I was taking off with a married man. Somebody said to assure her that at least he was married, so I'd probably come home again. But otherwise, I think that the planning to go with Bill was good. Everything he had been in Nigeria before, and so had I. So the folks in Nigeria didn't really have to worry about entertaining us, looking after our food. They had planned that ahead of time with a Nigerian girl. They had taught her how to cook English food. And when Bill heard that, he said, nonsense. He's not going to Nigeria to eat English food. He's going back to eat Nigerian food. So my friend Halima, who had been a friend for a long time, didn't have to cook too much English food for us. And all around, just sitting down with him, having his background to help me out. I've never been a qualified teacher, although I've done a lot of teaching. But as a high school teacher, he had a lot of good background to help me out, and his suggestions were good. He has taught English as a second language on his own for about 5 years. I taught it once, one term at Seneca. So together, the Lord was able to do something with these pastors. It was interesting. We didn't start off with very many pastors. We didn't end up with very many, for that matter. But I started off with two who spoke Hausa. And I thought, oh, this is great. I had a crutch. I could speak Hausa, and if I couldn't get to them in English, then we could revert to Hausa. But the Lord seems to remove these crutches from me for some reason or other. And sometimes I'm afraid to get crutches because I don't like them being removed too fast. And I remember the first day that a Yoruba pastor arrived, 2 weeks late, halfway into the course. Bill said, fine, he's going into your class. He's too late to come into mine, because he was really pushing his men. He just pushed them to the breaking point, and he always rejoiced when somebody complained that they couldn't do any more than he was already giving them, and he said, good, now I'll give you more. And I just watched him with amazement. I couldn't do with mine what he could do with his, because mine didn't have very much English at all, if at all any. But this Yoruba man arrived, and he couldn't speak English hardly at all. And I have forgotten my Yoruba. So right away, I had to pretty well stick with the English in order to get through with him. And if I went out to any Hausa, then he would accuse me of using their language and not using his. So it was a good challenge. Spiritually, I got to teach the advanced course Bible every day. And I really, really enjoyed that. I could get back into English again and explain myself better than I was doing, as far as the simple English that I was trying to use with my class. But we started our classes at 7:30 in the morning, and we ended at 2 in the afternoon. And there was a break in between for breakfast. And then we had some classes in the evening as well. The weekend, we gave them assignments like attending the Theological College Chapel in English and writing down what the pastor said. These two Yoruba men, I had another one finally come. And these two Yoruba men, they didn't quite understand my instructions. And I remember one class, after their first Sunday of trying to write down what they thought I said to write, one of them came in and he had written out what he found in the bulletin. And I said, that is not what I want. I'm coming. And he continued to read. I said, it's not what I want. I want to know what the pastor said in English. I'm coming. And he continued reading. And I remember I continued saying it's not what I want until finally I got up and I went and put my hand over his paper and I said, stop. And I thought for sure he'd never speak to me again. And at the end of that week, something happened in the class and he looked up at me. He's a little guy like this. And he looked up at me. He says, I like you. Well, I said, thank you, Lord. He still likes me after that. But it took just this kind of things, trying to get through to people who do not understand English. And I think when I go back to Nigeria, or I'm in Nigeria, I revert to Nigerian-type English. And some people have asked when I first come home if I am from a different country because of the accent that I pick up. But I thought my English was fairly simple to understand, but these fellows really tested me to the limit. When I first arrived back in Nigeria again, the first weekend after we arrived, I went up north just to let my friend Titi know that I was around. And, well, I don't know whether I can say this or not. Theologically, if I'm wrong, you can correct me when you get up after. But I think the devil was trying to give me a hard time. I went up there and Titi was working. I went up Friday night. Titi was working Saturday morning at the hospital. And she brought me a flask of boiling water. And I had told her, let it boil for 20 minutes, then all the bugs will be dead and everything will be well. Well, she did that. Plus, she put it in the flask, and I could hardly get the thing open. When I finally did, I poured it in a beer mug. Now, a beer mug is not supposed to hold boiling water. It's supposed to hold things that are fairly cool. And the bottom falls out in Nigeria of a beer mug if you put boiling water in. And I had the experience before, but this time I had the mug over me. And the boiling water came out and on my leg, right here. And I had sort of a map of Africa on me for quite a while. This scar is going away little by little, but that really made it hard in standing to teach for the longest time. And then from that, I think infection with boils and so on, between Becky Dennison and Pat McDowell and Halima and my friend TT with the boil on my back, I still got a scar there. But it was a bit of a challenge with these physical things interrupting what I was trying to do otherwise. But I really thank the Lord for this trip. Soon after I arrived back in Nigeria, something rather wonderful happened to me. Now, I don't usually hear voices, and I'm not on to these things that sort of bring out this type of thing in you. But it was almost like an audible voice when I arrived back a few days after that. I was assured very, very strongly that this was not the place that I was to be. I knew it. That particular time, that particular moment, I can still hear in my mind's eye or my mind's whatever that this is not where you are supposed to be. And I remember knowing that I needed that assurance. And I thanked the Lord for that. And it was at the right time because about a week later, again, Jim approached me about coming back to Nigeria or going back to Nigeria. They needed somebody with computer experience, some theological background, and I do have a Bachelor of Theology, and a few other things. And I was able to say, not at this time, with the assurance and knowing that that was the Lord's will for me. So that pilgrimage that I planned way back there in November of 88 and coming to fruition then this summer had a dual purpose, not only helping the pastors, but else giving me the assurance that I needed at the time I needed it. I really, again, thank the Lord for His guidance in every way. It's good to know where you are is where you are supposed to be. Some of you will have known or would have known Edna Pridham some years back. And Edna and I knew each other for quite a while before I went to Nigeria. And then when I went to Nigeria, I lived with her for the first month and then worked with her for a little while. But her favorite song was called "My Times Are in Thy Hand." And I have this in my Bible. And again, this is something else that I read very often. But for missions and for people that are doing home missions, working at home, even for the person that is in the workaday world when things come up that you don't expect, there are so many things that can happen. I just want to read this song to you in closing. But before I read this, I just want to say thank you to this church for your help, not only through the support of your prayers, which were the most important, but financially too, when I did go. That meant an awful lot, and I'm grateful for that. My times are in thy hand, my God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care. My times are in thy hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. My times are in thy hand, why should I doubt or fear? A father's hand will never cause his child a needless fear. My times are in thy hand, Jesus the crucified. The hand my cruel sins had pierced is now my guard and guide. My times are in thy hand, I'll always trust in thee. And after death at thy right hand, I shall forever be.